Welcome to Within WordPress, the podcast about people working and living and breathing inside that wonderful WordPress community of ours. With me today is, I'm tempted to say magic, but it's slightly different, right? It's magic. All the way from Poland. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Remkes. Hi.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm really nice. I mean, apart from the weather, right? Because here it's cold and horrible.
Yeah, but you do live in a beautiful country, so there is that.
That is true. I mean, I just wish like 3 or 4 degrees hotter.
You know, well, same. In the Netherlands, we have a saying that says, April doet wat hij wil, which means as much as the month of April does whatever it likes to do with the weather.
We have something very similar.
Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah. But for those who do not know you or have not seen you at a WordCamp, and I think specifically WordCamp Europe, I don't think you've missed many. But for those who don't know who you are, please introduce yourself.
So yes, like you said, I'm Magic, and I work at PatchStack right now as a security community manager. Which is a very nice title for someone taking care of our Discord and the whole security community.
Yep.
From PatchStack. But for most of my career, I was a developer. I switched to DevRel quite like 2 or 3 years ago. So for most of my career, I was a developer. I was working at a lot of agencies. Yeah, I visited almost, since WordCamp Vienna, I was at almost every WordCamp Europe.
So then you've done about 6,
yeah,
7, maybe.
Yeah, I know that you have a bit bigger experience when it comes to WordCamp Europe. So I know,
yes,
right?
Yes, all of them. That's a very extensive one, all of them.
Yeah, and because of my switch to this the DevRel, I kind of started also looking what is happening outside of the WordPress block.
Yeah, I think.
So I'm also a huge fan of StateMig and Astro, do not mistaken with Astra.
Yeah. Somebody following you on the socials will definitely see that you experiment a lot with different types of CMSs. Obviously you've used WordPress for ages.
I still remember this very, very old admin panel with the horizontal mini bar.
Oh yeah. So that's, before 2.7.
Oh yeah,
yeah. That's ancient history by now.
And we are already starting to get nostalgic. Although it wasn't the best layout, let's be honest.
It wasn't. But there, you know, probably at the end of this year we'll get to be nostalgic again, because the way things are going now, we should have a new WordPress, entirely new WordPress dashboard design, looking very, very shiny, if I may say so. I, for one, am very happy with that switch, as I was with the weird horizontal thing to the 2.7 version way back when. But no, what I wanted to say is that you are most certainly one of the most vocal WordPress developers who's not just doing WordPress anymore. You mentioned already 2 CMSs, but I think there's a longer list of stuff that you play with.
Oh yeah. I mean, like constantly, even like literally today, I was playing with iGraph CMS because it can be a really nice tool that you can connect with WordPress and like many WordPresses in one iGraph CMS, and you can expand the content. So yeah, there are really a lot happening around the world with so many different approaches. Everyone is kind of trying to be a bit different. On the other hand, I hear the phrase, we are trying to create a WordPress killer. It's happening here and there. But on the other hand, I see that most people who are thinking about creating a WordPress killer don't still fully understand why WordPress got to this place where it is right now.
I think that is a perfect description.
Yeah, because it's not because we are, I don't know, heavy vibe with the most modern languages.
No.
It's because everything, yeah. And I mean, one of the best things that that WordPress did, and I really can't see anyone who is even near this, is what WordPress did with the community. With investigating WordCamp, with making them so cheap, because that was that was something crucial to kind of bring everyone together.
And yeah.
On the other hand, when for the first time I went to some other conference and I saw that the ticket cost like, I don't know, 500 euros, I was like, what is happening? I've been at so many conferences. I know that most of them were WordCamps, but it was much cheaper. What is happening?
I think there's a few more reasons why WordPress is as successful as it is. I think the community indeed is one of the biggest drivers, and the way that this has always been facilitated, in some way you could call it evangelism, because in essence that's what the meetups and then resulting into WordCamps, what they can achieve and often did. And on the WordPress side of things, I think for me, one of the most pivotal things was when we had automatic updates and we didn't have to worry about FTPing in and overriding older versions and, you know, clenching your butt, being afraid of, is this going to break my site? Because with Mambo, it did. With Joomla, it did. And I was done with that. And then in the era of when WordPress really started taking off, then to have a solid system, which is extendable, you know, the hooks and the filters and all those things were just wonderful breath of fresh air compared to what was out there. That to me is probably the first pivotal moment for the software itself. And then probably the extendability of content, which would, you know, allow us to create custom post type, custom taxonomies and all that other stuff.
And also the cool part was how easy it was. Because right now it's a bit more difficult. How easy it was to start with WordPress, to start contributing to it.
Low barrier.
Especially, right now it got a bit more complicated. I mean, even looking at Ari's last post about Gutenberg. So
I'll link that tweet in the description of this. But what is your opinion on that? Because for those who haven't read it yet and haven't clicked on it yet, it's essentially saying, somebody saying who's been a very well-versed programmer, right? Somebody who has proper skills, who says, I am currently at the point where I don't know what...
I give up.
I don't know what to do with WordPress in terms of Gutenberg development. And I give up. I'm done. Which is a... you know, pretty radical statement for somebody who is definitely has the skills, and has worked on it, but got out of it for 3-4 months and then had to get back in. It was like, nope, not doing it.
Yeah. First of all, I was pretty shocked because I know of what Ari is capable of. I saw his contributions, and if a person like him says that gives up, it means that something is wrong. It really means that something is wrong. I mean, I tried a few times. I mean, let me start. I'm for sure a much worse JavaScript developer than I am a PHP developer. So that let's start with that. But I remember that when it comes to contributing core, it was always quite simple. Of course, there were things that were more difficult and things that were easier, but in general, you kind of went into the code, done a few steps to kind of find something, and you are here. You know when to go, where to contribute, how to contribute, and that's it. And with Gutenberg, I got lost before I found the place where I should do something. On the other hand, for sure, when it comes to PHP, I have spent much more time in this. So I know the PHP part of the core much better. So it's also kind of easier for me to say, it was simpler. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was from the fact that I was
very familiar.
But still, it's the whole kind of switch that is happening. And if I heard correctly, Map is really kind of even started mentioning that WordPress is kind of starting to become JS first rather than PHP first.
And we're getting there. This transition isn't smooth.
No, I agree. I agree. There's there are we essentially have two different worlds now. You know, depending on you look, you can say 3, 4, 5 worlds, but the two worlds that I see are those who not only understand JS first, but also understand the ecosystem that is the Gutenberg project. Like from front to back, they fully get it. And then there's everybody else, which is either they are familiar with JavaScript, yes or no, less relevant. I think it's more of a not understanding the new set. Missing documentation. It's missing logic. It's missing insight. It's missing a lot of stuff that makes it very hard to the. So this is, and for the record, this is for me not in any way, shape, or form a reflection on how much I enjoy working with the block editor. I do, the site editor. I love it. But it's like, I don't ask me to write code for it or try to debug certain things. I'm like, you know, I'll record it. Here's the ticket, but that's about it. That's my limit.
Which is, again, quite weird because you are also a capable developer that I'm sure that with PHP code, there would be a big chance that you would be able to provide a patch or two.
Yeah. I think I've said it a few times on Twitter now. I can't be arsed to dive into React. Like, I don't care for it anymore. I know that's not just, you know, that's not the whole thing about the Gutenberg project, but it's, for me, it's like, not my monkey, not my problem. I think that it originates from your part of the world, doesn't it?
No, we have with monkeys and circuit, but similar.
And I'm probably bastardizing that one. But yeah, so it's too much complexity for me to make any sense for me to invest time in it. I have different goals, this podcast being one.
You kind of mentioned the thing that, we only have 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
We have to focus on something and skip something else.
It has to be that way. So a little segue here, speaking of complexity, one of the things that we talked about, as a topic for, to discuss during our podcast was, I know that you play a lot with static versions of WordPress.
Oh, with static versions of everything. I mean, this is it's almost one of my first things when I look at some CMS. Is there a library or an add-on or whatever to convert the website into static?
You sleep with your headless WordPress very quickly. And since you are one to really play a lot, play with it and do all these interesting conversions from a live WordPress site to a static version and with different tools and stuff like that, what are your thoughts on essentially when does it make sense to do this?
I would start with, in most cases, it doesn't. Let's remember, in most cases, converting into headless by changing your architecture and everything won't have any sense. And I'm saying this as a person who really likes headless, but I also think that the amount of website or application that really needs the headless approach is very limited. We were thinking about one or two per 100, right? And I think that that's the correct.
I'm glad you started answering this because in the way that that's favorable to my point of view, because from where I'm looking, 1 in 100, maybe. Like of 100 WordPress sites, maybe one is where it makes sense to go headless. I see the complexity as, you know, and we're introducing a shitload of complexity and with the goal of solving a problem, which I don't think is necessarily a problem. Like architecture is a problem if it's not solved correctly.
But
switching just to headless to think you're solving a problem, which is in no other way.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there are a few groups of people who might benefit from headless. First, the first group is the loudest one. So we, the developers.
Yeah.
Because it's so fun to constantly try new technology. And if your CMS is headless, it's much easier to kind of test all those new JavaScript frameworks that are released every week, right? So in this way, going headless, it's a really perfect approach. But let me be honest.
Excuse me for excuse the term that I'm going to use now, but essentially this is where the addicts.
Yeah, true. Of course. I totally agree. I totally agree. But on the other hand, this is kind of a case when you still want to keep the data without worrying about it, and you kind of want to play around with different stuff. And that's okay. And it's even, in a way, logical. In a way, because let's be honest, if you have that much of spare time, I mean, cool.
Have at it. Do your thing.
First group. That's the first group. And another group is the moment when we are talking about like really enterprises with a lot of teams using different technology, and kind of headless becomes this way to, let's kind of call it unified, because we know that there is a team that specializes in JS, there is a team with PHP, and overall there are kind of few data streams, and there is no important and less important, or all are equal. So kind of creating this headless front end, which kind of treats every data stream equally, has sense, and that's headless, right? That nevertheless.
What you're essentially saying there is the combination of data sources that pipe into that one site, which
exactly
in that case happens to be headless, because that's an easier way to integrate all those various data sources.
And no one feels worse or better. Everyone's equal. Which is kind of also important if you kind of try to manage the morale in the... On the other hand, we can also switch this case when you have kind of one website, I mean, one CMS, and you want to populate a lot of data on other websites from this data. So you have one WordPress, and this WordPress powers like, I don't know, a few hundred landing pages.
Mm-hmm.
Why not go headless and kind of every time you switch, you change something on your About Us page, it changes on all of those. And it's quite easy to achieve using headless, and it's much easier than having everything as separate WordPresses or something.
Yeah,
especially that having static landing pages is really cheap. If you kind of have the mechanism, it's really easy to create. But overall, we are talking about, in both cases, about quite of an enterprise approach.
Yeah,
so it's not for your small company. If you are a medium company, you might start thinking in some cases, but probably not. And we hit the enterprise where there is the biggest chance, and especially with all those politics that happen in every corporation and everything. Yeah, it really adds some extra points for him. And there is the third group, and this was one of those things that I was quite surprised, and I learned it from one of my guests, either in the Kaggle Coffee Show or when I worked at Buddy. In short, you use headless when you have a very legacy website, and you kind of want to refresh it, but on the other hand, you know that touching the CMS is a bit frightening.
Yeah.
And the truth is, your customer doesn't care what is happening under. For him, the shiny front end can only come. So you go headless, you slap this new shiny front end, everyone is happy. And at this point, you can either slowly think about rebuilding the back end or not.
That's an interesting use case.
It's quite common in the Magento e-commerce space, because I heard that upgrading those major versions is problematic.
Yes,
say at least. So very often, if you want to make it better, this for the client, just change the front end, go headless, and you think if switching to the version 2 is possible, or maybe we will just pretend and hope for the best or put up come. I can imagine a lot of cases with some legacy weird WordPress setup when you look at the code and you are like, oh my, what is happening here?
Where do I start?
Maybe I will just write a few endpoints and I will just push it somewhere to display it, and
That really is an interesting approach into, so that so my problem with most folks, having convinced themselves that headless is the way, most problems that they list are none of the problems that you've talked about so far.
Nope. Because the most... I was even giving this presentation lately in Florence at Open Source there, and like the most common problems that we can find about that headless here solved is your website will be faster. No, in most cases your website becomes faster because it becomes static. You can have a static website without going headless.
Yeah, for sure.
We have a plugin for this. It's called Simply Static. You just install it, press run, and ta-da, 5 minutes later, you didn't have to rewrite everything. So that's one thing. Another thing is the security. Again, some part of it is, again, thanks to the static side, because yeah, HTML is quite difficult to hack because it's HTML.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, you still have to have this WordPress somewhere. So you still have to maintain it. You still have to be careful about it because someone still can use it as either to...
If your browser, which you are visiting your local site with, is compromised because you have an extension that does something shady, doesn't really matter, right? They're in the local site just the same.
Yeah, exactly. And still in many cases, even if you have this, if you convert it to static, out of being a bit lazy, you probably have this WordPress version somewhere online, so you don't have to worry about having it anymore.
Yeah, that's also, I've seen those as well. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's it. So we have the security, we have the performance, the something called the, and I still don't get this argument, but I saw it many times that it's easier to build website.
It's a lot of things, but it's not easier. Not ever.
I mean, it is easier if, and there is this very long list of ifs. So for example, you have to be sure that all of your plugins are compatible with the API you are using. While the REST API has kind of become a standard, GraphQL API, well, it's still not a standard. It's far from it. Even Yoast doesn't have an official support for GraphQL. There is an add-on. I mean, there is a plugin for a plugin.
No, but it's still a lot of patching that you have to do.
Exactly.
Right.
So it's all fun until you start hitting a wall after a wall after a wall. And also there is this thing that, and it was quite interesting from my perspective. WordPress out of the box gives you a lot of things, just like that. And when you start kind of rewriting a lot of those things that you already have in WordPress, I mean, either in the core or through some plugins, again, Yoast and the whole SEO support. I mean, you just click install, activate,
and you're
done. And now you kind of have to create it because with headless and you kind of have to find the data connected, add it to your headers. It's a lot of work that could have been done just with a click.
Yeah, I agree. So you mentioned something interesting. You mentioned Simply Static, which is a plugin. I recently published a tutorial on my YouTube channel where I essentially have an old, no longer in use WordPress site that doesn't make any sense for me to continue to update because there's not new energy that's going to be poured into it. And I turned that WordPress site into a static site, and I used Simply Static for that. And what that does, it takes your entire site, like you said, it just creates a static version of it. And then you have a whole bunch of files and folders with images and whatnot that you upload. And in my case, the tutorial was about moving that to Cloudflare Pages, which that is in my head. And I like that you specifically mentioned it because we didn't discuss this up front, but that you specifically mentioned as a smarter solution for solving most of the problems that you would want to solve by going fully headless. Like there's a lot of use cases where you can say, look, if the goal is to move from creating content locally for all I care, and then creating a version of that, which you then publish outside of your local machine, thus somewhere where you can. Cloudflare Pages, in my eyes, a perfect solution for this because it's not only free, but it's also super easy to deploy. Heck, you can even connect your GitHub to it, so you can even do full version control, and upon tagging the next release, it'll get pushed to our Cloudflare Pages, and there's really no true limitations if you don't need contact forms and all of those things. And even if that is a thing.
There are still so many workarounds.
Exactly. So there's solutions for those types of problems. And you know, like I said, I'm excited that you actually mentioned this one, because from my perspective, the added complexity that the full headless thing is, I don't see that. I've never, and I do a lot of performance optimization. So where it's from the outside looking in, the logical solution is, we need to go headless and then all of our problems are solved, in the same fashion that, we need to implement the load balancer because then all of our problems are solved. No, it might be.
Some of them might be.
Sure, but you're introducing so many new things. Like, I don't even know where to start solving all of those things in a fashion where when you're a small team or a medium-sized team. If you're a huge team, if you're a big team, you get 25 people building on your site in one way or another, yeah, maybe.
Because
you know, you can throw more resources at it and things become solvable, or you can even solve them yourself. But just think more simple. And then exactly, simply static. Shout out to Patrick. That is just a simple plugin that does exactly what most people actually need who are considering going headless. So my tutorial, I said, like, if you have old sites, if you have stuff that is just, for whatever reason, no longer in need of a constantly updated site, or maybe, and then this is why it triggered me to what you said about if there's, what was it? If there's ways where you don't really know how to go from old site to new site because you have to update. Mm-hmm. Like, do you have to update? Like, maybe you don't. So what I did, I copied the site, put it locally. I have a copy local. If I need to change stuff, I can. Probably won't, but I can. Then I create a static version, done. And I have all of the advantages, none of the disadvantages.
Exactly. I mean, I also have a theory that, like, at least 30-40% websites that are created on WordPress could and should be static.
Yeah.
Really? Because there is no explanation why they aren't.
I mean,
static is great. I mean, the performance, the security, everything, it's there. There, and it's simple and it's cheap. It's just almost unbreakable.
You need to really try hard.
I mean, I really think that with static sites, I think that your biggest enemy will be the fact that you forgot to, or not paying for the server, because there is a huge chance that you will have a free tier on Cloudflare Pages or Netlify or so, whatever. But probably if you forgot to pay for a domain or you misconfigured the DNS, I don't know. Those are like your biggest enemies when it comes to static. Most of the things will just work. It's just HTML. We are kind of, it's kind of funny how we are doing this circle, right? Because many years ago, everything was HTML. And then we went crazy on doing dynamic stuff with all those CMS introduced, and everything was dynamic.
Yeah.
And with this whole Jamstack movement, especially the first phase, because the Jamstack movement also kind of went sideways a bit. It was kind of returning to the old time, to going simply, because this jam was, well,
this is always the way. Like, there's a group of developers who, for whatever reason, love to introduce complexity. Maybe it's challenging to them. Maybe if we don't have this, then you know, they lose interest or whatever. But there is a group that really enjoys to do everything as complex as possible, mostly because it's the challenge for them, and it's not necessarily the end product for the client.
Mm-hmm. True.
Now, everybody else knows that the way to be the best to produce the best product for whatever it is try to be as simple as possible. Like, you can have a lot of complexity behind it, but it needs to look simple.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's kind of the thing we started with this work with killers.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not about the complexity. There are so many things.
There's stuff in there that where you can say, look, it's wonderful that this is solving that problem, because WordPress, you know, you have to jump through a few more hoops and, oh, okay, now I have it. Great, wonderful. And here I have it baked in. Oh, that's even more wonderful. You know, I get that. I get that argument. So from all of the alternative CMSs out there, which ones do you get excited about in a, you know, as excited as you may get from being, you know, from working with WordPress as a whole solution? And then added to that, if you can, like, what is it that WordPress can learn from those other applications, those other CMSs? Like, I mean, do you have a top three of CMSs you could say, this is why I like working with them, and this is what WordPress can learn from it.
So, first of all, I would go with State. State is a CMS that is built on top of Laravel, and State kind of reminds me of those times when we were building WordPress websites with this ACF flexible count.
Yeah,
But in case of State, it was kind of by design, because in WordPress, it kind of happened. Plugins, you could kind of feel that it wasn't the way how we should build the WordPress way.
Yeah.
But it kind of worked. And State, we kind of decided to go with this approach. The key part that I really enjoy about it, and apart from the fact that because all of those things baked in already, you kind of feel that the whole experience in the admin panel, it's really nice. You really feel that those custom feel the way how you can model your code.
Yeah.
That is part of the core, and it's not plugin. Because there are moments with, and I really love advanced custom fields. It's one of my, it's always one of my favorite plugins.
Yeah.
Especially when we introduced Gutenberg, we see more of those moments where we really see that, okay, this is a plugin. It's not core, it's plugin. It's kind of clunky in some moment. So that's kind of the thing that Statement doesn't have. You feel that it was designed this way. Also, the cool part that it has, it's by default, it's flat file based. It saves just as markdowns with arrays of data, because data is separated from the looks. They don't save as a huge HTML into your data.
Like folded, like how it's meant to be, I guess.
That's Statewing is still the CMS that I think I'm most excited about. I'm really happy to use it. I mean, even my blog is built based on Statewing, and I converted to static as a part of my CI/CD pipelines.
Yeah,
which is easy, because all the files are there. All the data sits in my GitHub repo, so I just run it on my as a part of my CI/CD pipeline, and it just deploys to NetJet. So very easy, very fun. Another one, and this is maybe not fully, because Astro in theory is more of a JavaScript framework, but it's also based on markdown files, and they have those cool things called collections. So this is kind of the mechanism that allows you to manage content in a much easier way. And I love Astro because they really found this sweet spot when it comes to all those JS frameworks, because I remember the moment when Gatsby was released and everyone was so hyped about it. And I remember everybody, I gave it a try and I was like, I don't get it. Why are we overcomplicated so many simple things? And then I tried Next, Nuked, everything, and I feel the same. And then Astro show up and they said, hey, let's make it simple. Really, Astro is one of the most simplest frameworks there is. You can build on it a lot of things, but can also build. And that's cool, because if you want to build yourself a very simple blog that will be using Markdown files, why not? Go with Astro. And they really focus on the performance. I mean, apart from the fact that, yeah, it's static, but they really take care of the optimization and everything. Quite nice, really quite nice. I really. One of their main mottos was zero JavaScript by default. Because if you do any website in Next.js that almost doesn't do everything, you just echo hello world, it will still generate some JavaScript. And Astro won't.
I like that.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but the whole premise of that, I like that.
I mean, this was one of the things that I read and I said, okay, I will give it a try. So, and this is kind of my, it's one of those weird CMS, but I totally enjoy it. And it was kind of created thanks to WordPress. It's called Front Matters CMS. And it lives in your Front Matters CMS. And
I'm typing because I'm making notes.
Of course. And Front Matters CMS lives in your Visual Code Studio. It's an add-on to your Visual Code Studio, and it makes managing all the Markdown files, so you can use it with Hugo, with Astro, with Elementy, with any
file. You could combine three. Interesting.
It's really interesting, and I said that it was created thanks to WordPress, because when I talked with Elio, who is the creator of Front Matters CMS, he said that it all started because back then they were using Azure together with WordPress, and they had some problem. And at some point, he got so mad that he decided, and what if we kind of move our website to Markdown? And then she thought, okay, but it might be too complicated for some users. So he started to building an add-on in Visual Code Studio to make it simpler. And she did it. It's still growing.
So what is it you like about?
It's the fact that I can use one interface, because I will use the same content management systems with many frameworks. Because like I said, I can use it with Astro, I can use it with Hugo, I can use it with Next, Nuxer. And my editing experience will always be exactly the same. And that's a really cool part of it. I mean, Markdown is quite standardized, so it's
interesting. Yeah.
But this is kind of a thing that we forget that every time we are using a CMS, we are kind of forcing all the users that we'll be using to have the same experience. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. And this kind of makes it a bit different. You can use the same editor for so many things.
That's an interesting approach.
Yes, it is. And I really love to mention it because, hey, it's a CMS inside of your Visual Code Studio. It's weird.
Yeah. I'm still wrapping my head around because to me, so that this works specifically for you. In the way that it facilitates something that you like to work with. So what is it that WordPress itself could learn from Front Matter? I get that you're working in the editor and your preferred editor has an add-on and it works wonderfully, but what if I'm stuck with, I don't know, whatever other, co-editor there?
This is kind of a thing that Gutenberg wanted to achieve in a way, because there are some implementation of Gutenberg in other CMS, and
that's
pretty cool, because if you are familiar with Gutenberg, the experience of editing in WordPress, I remember the one in Drupal, and I think there is an implementation for Laravel, I'm not sure if some of it is, but you could have the same editing experience in no matter what technology are you using. And this is really cool. It's really great for the user. They don't have to change the way of thinking each time when they use a different product. But like I said, we know that this idea of Gutenberg everywhere probably won't happen. The same as with Front Pattern, probably it never will be the most popular CMS in the world. But kind of the possibility of having the same editing experience, no matter what technology are you using, it's fun. It's really fun because we have to change focus so often every day.
So it's more of the concept, less of the actual.
Yeah, in a way, it is more of a concept because no one can. I kind of get it why, because everyone kind of wants to introduce some features thanks to their interface. That's one thing. And on the other hand, it's much easier to kind of help other people what to do if they are stuck, if the editing experience is what it is. And not when you start connecting with some third party. Okay. But still, the general context of not having to switch contacts is really cool. Can give it a try with Front Pattern CMS.
So
and if you don't like it, the author probably lives quite nearby because he's from Belgium. Drive.
I'm not sure I'm gonna take you up on that one. No, but that's an interesting set of CMSs that you're mentioning. I take it you really enjoy the Markdown approach.
Oh, I do. Again, because Markdown is universal, the same. I mean, there are some flavors, but if you go with the universal approach, then moving your data from one CMS or framework to another isn't a problem. I mean, like right now, at Patchstack, we were moving our documentation from the README project, Astral.
Yeah.
Markdown files. So we just change the folder.
Is it that straightforward?
We have to do one or two search replace operations.
That is really...
The problems happens the moment when you start kind of using those flavored Markdown. Because, for example, GitHub has some cool add-on. But they are not universal. They won't work everywhere. But when you go with the... with the universal approach, it's really great. It's like, you just, like I said, you're just copying from one folder to another.
And I imagine that if you really wanted to have the GitHub flavor in there, you probably could.
You could, yeah. Or you can go with more of the Markdown approach and kind of create components that you can also move around.
So with working with all these different and modern approaches, what is the... because I'm circling back to one of the first things I said about you. You organize WordCamps, you go to WordCamps, so therefore you are still very much fond of WordPress and its community. What still gets you excited about WordPress? WordPress Playground. That is certainly something to get excited about.
Yes, WordPress
Playground. For those who are listening and have no idea what WordPress Playground is, what would your definition be?
It's like a WordPress with a serverless WordPress, right? No, but it's a WordPress without the server that runs entirely in your browser. It's really interesting how it's growing and where it's getting used. I mean, we saw it for translations. We are seeing it in the documentation. Studio by WordPress.com. It's also by...
Yeah, I was going to say the
and that was kind of a surprise for me.
Yeah, I suspected it, but I haven't actually played with it yet. Like, if you have a WordPress installation inside of a browser, you essentially have an app. So if you then have an app, then WordPress can be anything.
Yeah, and I remember someone from the, let's call it the Playground team, already published this note-taking application to the iOS store.
You're doing that all?
Maybe.
I think so.
So overall, this, while I really do like Gutenberg as a content editor, I don't like it so much as a site editor, but I kind of prefer to have it separate. But still, Gutenberg didn't give me this, whoa, it's so super exciting and everything. It was like, okay, it's a new editor. Cool. And when I saw Playground for the first time, and I had the pleasure to kind of meet Adam in person, because he lives quite near us. We had the chance to meet and drink coffee together. It was truly exciting. It was something new, something different. I see it as something much more pushing WordPress forward than Gutenberg.
That's interesting.
Especially from the technological side, because you always have to kind of give something that will excite the developer.
Yeah.
If you want to have a kind of growing developer community that will gain it.
So if we go back to one of the earlier talking points we had about Ari's tweet, essentially entering a world of complexity where he's after 3 or 4 months of absence, goes like, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. That is the opposite of what WordPress Playground, and I heard this from a lot of other people who see the magic of, because it is, it's just in your browser, that's it. Like, there's nothing more you have to do, just, it's right there. For those of you who don't know what it does in like what you can do with it, one of the most interesting things is probably the preview that we have for the WordPress plugins.
For
you essentially have a WordPress plugin that has been made ready to have a preview mode. When you click on that link, that is linking to essentially a Playground instance. Can you call them instance? But it's essentially then fully active in your browser as a standalone WordPress installation. There are some limits because SQLite is what's being used as a database.
But on the other hand, we have to start looking at SQLite not as a limitation. I mean, Laravel switched right now to SQLite as a default database driver.
So there are certain things you cannot do in SQLite that you can do when we are using in regular WordPress. So it is a real limitation, but it's not necessarily one that needs to stay a limitation. I think that's more the thing. I'm not well versed enough between the difference between SQLite and MySQL, but is there a possibility for MySQL to be part of Playground at some point in time?
I don't think so. I'm sure that currently there are no plans. I mean, probably Adam would be a better person to kind of.
You just said you live close, so maybe, you know.
I will go and
wait. I can wait.
The trains in Poland aren't that perfect.
Okay. So the country's beautiful, trains a little less.
I mean, they are quite nice. They are quite rare.
Yeah. Well, I've only driven through. I still have to proper visit Poland. And I wanted to do that ideally with a WordCamp. And I know I missed one.
Yes, but.
But so did you, even though you were organized.
Yeah, I mean, I was there in a way.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, you saw it, yeah. But who knows, maybe WordCamp Europe will happen in Poland. Who knows?
That would be lovely. Certainly one of the countries that's absolutely needs to have it at one point. But until then, I want to thank you for this conversation. And I'm sure I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
In Torino.
In Torino, exactly. So yeah, thank you so much.
And thank you. It was really cool.